thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he'll kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him who I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, come thou peaceably. And he said, peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab, and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? Is this everybody? There's got to be somebody else. And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. In other words, I'm not doing anything else. I'm not going anywhere else until I see him. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and with all a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. It's a very familiar story to us, hopefully, that of Samuel being given the responsibility of anointing a new king for Israel. Now, he even said at the beginning of the passage here, he's kind of worried about going to Bethlehem because Saul's the reigning king. If you know anything about the relationship of Saul and David, it's not really a great one. I mean, they have their ups and downs. Even David's best friend is Saul's son, Jonathan. But of all the many times David's been given the responsibility of playing his harp, music, to soothe the countenance of Saul, David is the one, unbeknownst then, to be the new king. And here we have Samuel anointing David. I paused with one of our phrases here that we're going to look at, and it said, David is the youngest, and behold, he kept the sheep. What is required of us to be a good man? What is required of us to walk in a way as men, as an individual, that God gives us, the way that God gives us? It's important to note that David was keeping the sheep. First of all, if you're thinking, well, I'm not worthy, or I'm not good enough, or you fill in the blank of reason why you can't follow the Lord, or you can't do what's right, you can't walk in the way of the Lord, David's keeping sheep. Can you name me another responsibility in Scripture where it's thought of lower? There's not really much to compare to. A shepherd is thought of as this kind of your bottom of the totem pole job. And that's what David's doing. That's what he's been called to do. Well, we know the rest of the story of David as well, how God brought along a lion and a bear while David is keeping the sheep. And David fought them off. Those are tests that came with this responsibility because God knew with the lion and the bear that David would have something higher to do later on. If you're given a task by the Lord right now and you're thinking, man, why am I doing this? Or what is the Lord giving me this for? Here's a perfect example of the guy that God has chosen to to be a man after his own heart, the guy that God has chosen to be the new king, their tests, their trials that he has to go through in order to be prepared for what God's given him later. So first point, and this isn't really a point, this is free. If you're thinking you don't have the qualifications, God will give you what you need along the way to train you to be what he needs you to be. Give you the experiences, he'll give you the people along your path. And that's the other point I want to talk about tonight, is not just David keeping sheep, and you can relate to that because the task that you might think that you've been given is menial or whatever. God has given you a higher calling and a task too. But I want to talk a little bit about the question of, what is God's will for my life? Many people, especially young people, college age, come along that question. How am I going to know what God's will for my life is? We're going to see that through David keeping sheep tonight. First of all, going back to Psalm, we read, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he, God, delighteth in his way. The way that God has given you, no matter where along that way you are right now, is made up of steps. Does that make sense? For me to get from here to the back door of the auditorium, I mean, it would take some kind of like Olympic jump, and they can even jump that far to get from here to there, and I can't fly, so how am I going to get there? I've got to walk. I've got to take steps. I've got to go 1, 2, 3, and however many steps it takes me to get to the back of the auditorium, I'll be there. Similarly, we're going to see tonight, God's path for us, God's way for us, is a big way. He has a calling for you. If you're here, then he wants you to hear this lesson. He has something for you to do in life, whether you know of what it is right now or not. But how we get there is by taking this step and the next step after that. Every step, point number one, every step is important. We can't take any step lightly. I don't mean lightly as in tiptoe, I just mean weightily. Every step is important. So, let's think about our everyday jobs, our everyday life. What are some things that we do in our day that is really necessary? And I'm going to preface that question by saying, I kind of want this to be a normal Wednesday night or what with Pastor, or I even think of myself even with the teens. I need some feedback. Talk to me. What are some things in our lives that we do daily that we would consider necessary? These are steps that we need to do, we need to take.
Drink water,
okay? I need to do better at that.
Dress,
that's a good thing. Eating, yeah, cooking. It's important to cook the meal, sure. Using your manners, that's a good thing. Yes, sir. Showering, yes. I was wondering when we would get to some sort of hygienic thing. Right. Good, showering. Okay, so I would say in line with that, maybe brushing your teeth, right? Talk to Lila about that. Reading your Bible, that's a good thing. I would say that is a necessary thing to do in the day. Now, we're naming steps, right? But I want to emphasize my point. Every step is important. If you don't brush your teeth, what's going to happen? You won't have any friends. I was just going to say you won't have any. If you don't brush your teeth, eventually you won't have any. They're going to go away. If you don't shower, same principle, maybe. You might not have any friends. Or the ones you have might not necessarily be the ones you would want to have. It might be flies. Anyway. Okay, so if you don't eat in a day, what's going to happen? You're not going to make it very long. If you don't drink water, you're not going to make it very long. I think it's like, what is it like? 3 days, right? These are necessary things. Every step is important. On this point, under point one, we've got to notice again, I've already mentioned it, David's age. So it doesn't matter how old you are, if you're 4, if you're whoever you are, it doesn't matter your age. What matters is the steps you take every day, every day, every day, doing what is necessary, doing what is right. Doing what is right. Point number two. No step is insignificant. So, okay, just contrast them, right? So, if every step is important, that also means that none of them are unimportant. So, if you go without them, you are without. But I want to make a point and say, don't be fooled by thinking what you're doing doesn't matter. So we've named some, and I would maybe say call them more trivial along our message tonight, some tasks, some things we do each day. Don't think what you're doing doesn't matter. What I mean by that is we have a set of things or a list of things that we do accomplish every day. There are daily tasks. But there are also some things that I would say we would tend to do every day, but we probably shouldn't. And I say probably, but I mean definitely. How many of you run across thoughts that go through your mind? I should not have thought that. I have that tendency on the road. I should not have thought that about that person. No matter how long the light had been red before you came barreling through it. Or, thank you for using your turn signal, sir. That was a great example of how we're supposed to drive on the road. You fill in the blank. Lustful thoughts. Thinking of ourselves higher than somebody else. Some things that we probably should not do. Don't think what you're doing doesn't matter. Every decision, every step towards our goal matters. Point number three, steps reveal direction. If I'm stepping towards the door, I'm going towards the door. If I'm stepping this way, I'm not going towards the door. Now, you could argue I'm not going away from it either, but I'm not going towards it. It would require a step to go this way to go away from it. If my goal is to get to the gym, then I have to take steps that go in that direction. If I take steps that go this way, that's not the right direction. You follow me? Simple. But if I'm taking the right steps, I'm going the right way, the end goal will be right. It will be what God wants for us. If I'm taking the wrong steps, I'm taking the wrong way. I'm not giving you really anything earth-shattering here. But maybe here's something. All it takes is one step out of the way to be going the wrong way. I'm doing my devotions, I'm reading my Bible, I feel like I'm having a healthy walk with the Lord. I'm doing all the right things, I can say all the right things, but one step can take me out of the path. I would even argue you can be on the wrong path saying the right things, doing the right things. How many of you know someone, you've known them all of your life, and all of a sudden, big, really earthquake sin comes out, and your world is flipped upside down? I'd like to tell you I don't know many of those, but don't think that what you're doing doesn't matter, whether it's now, whether it's 30 years down the line after you've festered this sin for so long, and it's going to shatter the world. Every step is important. No step is insignificant. Don't think what you're doing or not doing doesn't matter. And your steps, the steps that you're taking, the things that you're doing, the things that you're inputting into your life, reveal direction. They reveal where you're going, whether somebody else knows about it or not. Okay? So, Zach, what are you trying to get at? Make the right steps. Easier said than done, maybe. Okay? So, yes, we're all together in church. We're all in a place where we would say, we're hearing the Word of God. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And He, God, delighteth in His way. How do I walk in that way? If you're going to take the right steps, if you're going to be a good man, if you're going to walk like a good man, your steps will be ordered by the Lord. So what's popping in your head right now that you're saying to yourself already, I know that step wasn't ordered by the Lord. God delights in us as we take the right steps. Is it easy? Sometimes, yeah, sure, when you're at church, it's easy to sing and say the right things. When you go home tonight, the TV flips on, or conversations that we have throughout the week, or you're on your phone, your laptop, or whatever, are you taking the right steps? I would say some steps that we need to take are not necessarily active steps, but they're preventative steps. I'm in the midst of purchasing something that's going to filter or monitor internet access at my house. So I would say that's a preventative step. I've already got, my wife put it on my phone, there's a restrictions thing on there. I don't know if you guys have seen that. It actually works pretty good. My wife typed in the code on my phone, so, and you can set like levels of things that you can see or can't see. That's a step. That is a, I don't want to make a wrong step guard, right? Along the interstate, there's these metal things on the side. They're called barriers. You understand what I'm talking about? How many of you have some of those set up? Okay, good. That's great. I'm in the middle of doing that. It's not a step I'm doing the wrong thing or I'm even really doing the right thing. It's just a preventative. It's a barrier. It's something to help guide me along the right steps because I want to take the right steps. So I'm not going to lend myself or even as Scripture says, I'm not going to yield to this temptation. Now, there's a promise there. God says that all of us face temptations in whatever area. But He is faithful. He will protect us from them. He gives us a way of escape. But if we don't take steps ourselves to help along that, we're just going to go right off the road. We, to allude back to the story of David, we are the sheep. What does the Bible call sheep? What do we know sheep to be? Dumb. There's not a better word for it. I'm going to walk right off of this cliff. Here I go. Watch me fly. That's what David's job was. He's a shepherd. Sheep's dumb. Sheep falls off the cliff. Here's David to rescue, to protect from the bear and the lion. And need I give you examples of bears and lions, moms and dads? I don't even feel like I can let my daughter ride around our neighborhood by herself because of the things she's going to hear. I'm just being transparent. As a dad, as a parent, not only do I need to be walking the steps that are God-ordained or ordered because I want God to delight in my way, but I also need to encourage and nurture my children to walk in those same right steps. And I'm almost intentionally being vague when I'm talking about our steps. I think we're educated enough. You know very very well what I'm saying. Every step in our lives is important. No step is insignificant. Don't think that what you're doing does not matter. Steps reveal direction. So I'm going to make the right steps. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature." Didn't really matter what this guy looks like, where he's been, what he's, you know, where he's from. "Because I have refused him." The older brothers of David, God refused. Not because They're big and strong. Don't think because you're a big and strong guy, doesn't mean God can't use you. What mattered? What was God looking at for his good man, for his man after his heart? The Lord seeth not as man seeth. And I almost interpret that as God. There's another verse in Scripture. God's ways are higher than my, God's thoughts are higher than my thoughts. His ways are higher than my ways. The Lord seeth not as I see. Things that would make sense to me aren't necessarily what's going to make sense to the Lord. Now, I want to program my brain so that that's so. But man looketh on the outward appearance. But God looks where? The heart. Back in March, we had the Galkin team here for a week. And many of you came for the pre-service sessions on counseling ourselves. And Will, through those sessions, really drove home one question. And I keep asking myself this question every time I'm presented with something that's going to try to derail me or throw me off of the path. What is more important? If my lusts, if the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is more important to me, that's the path I'm going to follow. But if it's more important to me to follow God and His way, then that's what I'm going to do. It's really kind of simple. But it all starts with our heart. Sin, as Will even said in those lessons, is just a manifestation of what's in our heart. The Bible says your heart is wicked. It is desperately wicked above all things. It's deceitful. Who can know it? Not even we can know our heart, but God does. Your heart is the source. Your heart is the root. Put things in your heart, and I'm saying you active, but really this is a prayer to the Lord. God, I need your help so that things that are in my heart will come from you. So that my desires come from the Lord, not from my wicked heart. God could see David's heart. That's how he knew he was going to be a man after God's own heart. What are we talking about when we say the word heart? It's, yes, your innermost desires, but we could describe them. Your mind, your intellect, that is heart. What you learn, it goes in. It's, I already used the word programming, but my dad always used to say growing up, garbage in, garbage out. Garbage in, garbage out. If you're putting garbage in, it's what you're going to get out. You don't throw trash bags into the back of the garbage truck and nice, pretty, fluffy flowers come along. Or a computer. Or, maybe I should correct that. Flowers might come. It's called compost. You understand my point. Garbage in, garbage out. What goes in, what we allow ourselves to learn and see and read and think needs to be whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just. Think on these things. That's where your mind needs to be, your mind, your emotions. How easy is it to get attached to you fill in the blank. For me, sports. Not saying sports are bad. Pastor will say the same thing. There are some of us who quite very much enjoy it. Judah, he's got to get it from me. I mean, I'm his dad. But the kid thinks of nothing other than balls all day long. I mean, it's great, but at a certain point, you get tired of getting hit in the head with a ball. Like, okay, dude, you know. We play ball all day long. It's great. I love it. But that's a connection thing. If our whole focus is sports, what is there? I could go in from just mentioning things to meddling. If, and this is something that I have a personal conviction about, don't think I'm telling you you're sinning if you're doing this, I have a conviction that if church is going on, I'm there. If my kids are having practice and church is going on, I'm going to be there. Again, I'm not trying to say you're wrong if you do that. I'm just saying that's what the Lord has shown me growing up. Church and the decisions I make are more important to be God-focused than they are sports-focused. And again, I'll give you my kind of thought process on that too. If I make that decision, if I decide going to practice tonight, Wednesday night, is more important than they come to Awana, what else am I telling my kids? There's a deeper conviction there. I'm telling them that that's more important. It goes back to that importance thing. Is God more important to us, to our family? I'm not saying you can't be a witness on a Wednesday night at practice. What I am saying is other people see that. That's part of your testimony too. If I'm at church, I'm not where I shouldn't be. Not that softball practice or whatever is where you shouldn't be. Again, don't take that the wrong way, please. That's not what I mean. What I'm trying to give you is a mentality. What is more important? It ties in with our mind, our emotions, our will. It's in the heart. At the heart of it is studying for a test more important than being at church? You answer the question. If you're going to fail, maybe you should have studied more prior to the night before the test and not skipped church, right? Every step is important. No step is insignificant. Steps reveal the direction. Make the right steps. Your heart determines who you are. But I have to back up and say, you can't make the right steps without Christ. You can't make the right steps if you're not saved, if you don't know who Christ is, if you don't have a relationship with Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You must know Christ. If you don't know Christ, that's your foundation. Making these steps has to start somewhere. If you don't know Christ, your steps are pointless. If you know Christ, make the right steps. Your heart determines who you are. The heart also determines who you are becoming. Think about that. Who I am right now is not who I was yesterday. Who I am right now is not who I was when I first came to Westside in 2011. And I would say, by the grace of God, I am who I am. But I would hope that since I came to Westside in 2011, I've learned things. I have grown. I've matured in the Lord. I've grown in the knowledge and in the stature of the Lord, as David did. Who you are tomorrow will be determined by your heart. So your heart then requires a lot of attention. Protect it. Scripture says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. If you want these issues of life to be what God wants them to be, not saying they'll always be easy. I can stand right here and tell you, I'm only 30, but I've got enough experience and knowledge to say, it ain't always a box of chocolates. Life is hard. But if you want to walk down the road of life the way God wants you to, being fulfilled through the Holy Spirit of God, it is a rewarding life. It is a life unlike any other, and one at the end of the way, the big way that we're talking about, is glory, is heaven, it's sanctification, it's a new glorified body. If you ask me, the music guy, it's singing and praising God forever. Can you imagine what the sound is going to be like in heaven? I can't. I've been to some pretty amazing musical concerts and that kind of thing. The sound of the instruments of, even as Pastor spoke last Sunday night, our voices. And I love hearing you guys sing. I don't think I've been in a church that sings like you guys do. It's moving. You can feel the Spirit of the Lord when you guys sing. And I can name a few choice songs that I try not to sing too often just because I don't want us to get too much of a good thing, right? I Stand Redeemed by the Blood of Jesus. The price is paid. My debt is gone. Now, I get to wave my hands, so sometimes you guys think I'm in, like, time, right? I'm waving my hands. Praise the Lord. I Stand Redeemed by the Blood of Jesus. Bow the Knee. He is King of all the ages. Bow the Knee. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. The sound that we're going to hear one day, really, anything we hear on this earth is nothing in comparison to it. I can't wait. But you guys come pretty close. Come pretty close. The end of our journey, the end of our way, will only be as is our steps take us. Let's think about some other things that are at the end of the way. We want to hear Christ say when we get to heaven, what phrase? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. We don't do good works, even as we were reminded this morning, to be saved. But as a Christian, you are called unto good works. It's a command. As you do them, and again, this isn't necessarily our motivation. Our motivation is that God would receive glory. But God has a crown prepared for you one day as you invest in the lives of other people, as you witness to others. There is a crown of glory waiting for you in heaven. That should be our way. That's where we're headed. That's our goal. To get crowns. Why? So that we can throw them back at the feet of Jesus and say, praise the Lord for who He is and what He's done in my life. Everything that I am able to accomplish is only through Him. Here's these crowns. I want to have a big pile of them. Or a pile so that I'm throwing a crown every minute and or every second and I can't run out. That's how big of a pile you want to have of crowns to throw back at Jesus' feet. But if you're going to get the crown of glory, a crown of righteousness, a crown of witnessing, and even Scripture talks about multiple different types of crowns you can get, you've got to take the right steps. One step takes you out of the way. But the good part about it is one step puts you right back in it. If you're living a life and you know you've got sin, you don't have to keep taking those steps. God is faithful to forgive. If you're going down that path, I can think of two words. Stop it. Christian, I know who Christ is. I know what He's done for me. I know His redemptive work. Why follow that? What reward is there in that? Stop it. Again, easier said than done. I can't do it on my own. I need Christ helping me. I need church, if I can insert that. That's what the body of believers is for as well. Pastors use this word a lot. It's a hospital. The church is full of hurting, needy people. Come, be refreshed, be encouraged. God is on our side. Protect your heart. Direct your heart. Correct your heart. You know who you are. You know who your heart is, or what your heart is. You know what it's filled with. My encouragement would be, let someone else know it. How scary would it be if our spouse knew everything that was in our heart? What if it were all written out on a piece of paper and we could read it? Protect your heart. Direct your heart. Correct your heart. It's the root. God wants to see your heart. God wants to see you as a believer. God wants to see you and say, this is a good man. But it starts at the heart. God wants to see your heart in such a way that he could choose you just as he did David, to be the king, to be put in a position of leadership, to be his servant. Now, we all know the story of David. I've said that a number of times tonight. We know the story of David. Yes, David was a man after God's own heart, but David was dumb. David was a sheep. It was mentioned this morning about his sin with Bathsheba, murdering Uriah. How many other things can we name going along with the Philistines, like we heard from Brett a couple weeks ago? How dumb is that? My God is Almighty God, and David says, I've got to go follow these other guys. How dumb is that? But put me right in his shoes. I'm a sheep. I'm dumb. I need a shepherd. I need someone to help me along this way, along this path. To be fully committed to Christ, we must take the right little steps, because little steps lead to the big way. We kind of started off talking about some trivial, menial things, brushing our teeth, taking a shower. We've got to cook. You've got to be able to eat. Some things that we need to do day by day. Devotions, being in the Word. If you call that a little step, that's great, because there are bigger steps that we can take as well. But don't think that the little steps are insignificant. Every step is important, and they show where you're going. I heard a story from a preacher. It was an illustration that he used when I was in high school, it was a camp. And he told a story of a time that he was at the Grand Canyon. And if you've ever been there, you know that you can get a guide and you can go on hikes down into the canyon, you can camp. There's all kinds of stuff you can do there. It's really unbelievable. He and his wife, and he had some family with him, were going to do that. They got a guide for a day. What they were going to do was they were going to hike down into the Grand Canyon one day. And if also you know anything about the Grand Canyon, hiking down in and coming back out in the day is almost a death sentence. It's almost impossible. I mean, few people have done it, but you have to be some kind of athlete, some kind of in shape in order to handle that. And a lot of water. You've got to take a lot of water. So, but they weren't going to do that. They weren't going to hike in and come back out in one day. All they were going to do is hike down, set up camp, spend the night, hike back out the next day. That's feasible. They didn't have a lot of time. He's an evangelist, so they were in between churches. Got to be the next church next Sunday, so they got to keep moving. They're at the edge of the canyon with their guide, getting ready to go. Guide's giving them the last little checklist. Hey, make sure you've got these things. This is what we're going to do. This is where we're going to go. If you get lost, you're contacting anyone. All those details about taking a hike down the canyon. And across one of the ridges, and if you've ever been there, it's not just a gulf. It's not straight. There's not straight lines on it. You could be out on the end of a point, and a few hundred yards, or it feels like a few hundred yards, it's really like a couple thousand yards, you can see the edge or the rim of another part of the canyon. And it's very diverse. It was like that for them. So they're on the edge of one of the sides, and they're getting ready to get the south rim, I think, getting ready to go down in. And they can see a helicopter, not on the north side. That's really far away. You might not even be able to tell a helicopter's hovering over the north side. That's how far. It's like 10 miles. It's a long way. Just over one of the other ridges along the same south rim of the Grand Canyon. The helicopter hovering. And they could see from the helicopter a stretcher to pick up somebody. They look down on the ledge of the canyon, and not to be gruesome, but there's a body. Being on the path and being off of the path, as I've already stated, it's one step. Some of those drops at the Grand Canyon, it's not a slide, You don't slide down in the canyon. You're talking 300, 400 feet straight down. One step. This preacher asked the guide, do you know what happened? The guide's got a headset in her ear. And I'll never forget what he said as a part of his illustration. The person on the other end of that intercom, that walkie-talkie, said, what happened? He just took the wrong step. Every step is important. No step is insignificant. Steps reveal direction. They show you where you're going. So make the right steps. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He, God, delights in that way, in His way.